When it comes to financial advice, you gotta trust the source. It's why you listen to this podcast. When I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. Before NerdWallet, I was paying for vacations all wrong. I was missing out on miles. I didn't even know I was leaving on the table. Now I've got a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? I don't know, maybe that fancy hotel upgrade that you have always been dreaming about. Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. Have you been using Mint to manage your finances? First, you probably know the bad news. Mint has shut down. But here's the good news. There is a better alternative. Monarch Money. That's right. Mint users are turning to Monarch Money and loving it. I have been using Monarch Money for over a year now, and it makes my weekly money dates so much easier and a lot less stressful. I tried all of the other personal finance apps, but they just didn't work for me. I love Monarch because I can see exactly where my money is going and track my goals all at the same time. Monarch is the top-rated all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all of your accounts, your investments, transactions, and more. You can create custom budgets, track progress towards your financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. Monarch has a tool that also lets you easily import your data from Mint so you can keep all of your tags and categories. And unlike other personal finance apps, Monarch's simple, very intuitive design makes it so easy to set up, customize, and use. And one of the features I love most is Monarch has built-in features to collaborate with your partner, your family, or your financial advisor. You can invite them to your account at no extra cost. They get their own login, and you can have a joint view of your finances. Monarch is also the most customizable budgeting app. You can change the layout of your dashboard, toggle between light and dark mode, create custom budgets and notifications. You can set up automatic rules for transactions. You can go to town with Monarch. Plus, they have ad-free privacy you can trust. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, listeners of the show will get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. That's monarchmoney.com/ETM for your extended 30-day free trial.
Not afraid of failing. That's what we think it is. We think we're afraid to be failures. We're not afraid to fail. We're afraid to succeed. Because succeeding means I've got to show up when I don't feel like it. I've got to be ready when I don't feel like being ready. I have to do the thing when I don't feel like doing it or when I don't feel like I'm good enough to do it. I have to be ready to do it.
Hey, welcome to Everyone's Talking Money. I am your host, Shauna Game, and it is so good to have you here. If you're new, welcome to the show. If you are a regular, welcome back, my friend. I have been so excited to bring you this episode. Talk about an episode about relationship with money and a money story that is just going to blow you away. What choice do you make when the numbers don't make sense? Do you give up? Or do you get to work? Our guest, Mignon Francois, she is a self-made Black female entrepreneur who beat all of the odds and turned her very last $5, the only way she could feed her family, into a multi-million dollar cupcake empire. Mignon's story is superpowering, yes, but more than anything is an example of how you can take a skill that you might take for granted, like making cupcakes, and change everything financially for you and generations to come. So in this episode, we talk about Mignon's practical steps to turn your talent into financial freedom, what to do when you are stuck in chronic money stress, how to find the courage to try something different and tips to launch a profitable business with one of your talents. Her story and message, I know, it's just going to blow you away because it has stuck with me since I had this conversation with her. Before we get into today's episode, I just want to remind you, if you are looking for one-on-one money coaching to help you get in a better relationship with money yourself and reach your goals, I'd like to invite you to work with me exclusively and come up with your plan for financial freedom. I am opening up 4 spots each month, so you can sign up for the waitlist at etmpod.link/moneycoaching or just head to the link in the show notes to grab an open spot. All right, let's start talking. Mignon, welcome to Everyone's Talking Money. I am so thrilled to have with you. Let me say that again. Mignon, welcome to Everyone's Talking Money. I am so thrilled to have you with us. And your story just really inspires me. I know it's going to inspire so many other listeners. So thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be talking about money. I think it's funny that I get to be an expert in some ways about money, especially with my relationship in the past with money.
Well, the beauty is that you are not alone. I tell everyone, we all have a very messed up and tricky relationship with money. And so I think the beauty of it is being able to share how similar we all are in our thoughts and feelings and the things that really like hang us up. And, you know, I wanted to start at this point in your story. You are a mom of 6, which is a brave thing just in that. But you were in somewhere around $67,000 in debt when you decided to turn your side hustle of making cupcakes into financial freedom for your family. And we're going to dive into that whole story. But before we do, you know, I think the thing with debt and the thing that I think is so important to talk about with debt is it's a very lonely, isolating experience. I've worked with, you know, tons of people when I was a practicing financial planner, and everyone would have, you know, some level of like shame and embarrassment and just fear of really letting other people know that they were in debt. Tell me a little bit about like the thoughts and feelings and kind of what was going on for you emotionally, you know, during this time period.
Yeah. So we were about $67,000 in debt, but that didn't include the house we were losing. So we were losing our house at the same time too. So that's more like material debt or credit card debt and student loan debt and that sort of thing. And I felt like we were never going to be able to have what everybody else had. For me, I just wanted field trip money for my children. And I was tired of being sick and tired. And the revelation I came to is you could be one or the other, but you just can't be both.
Right.
You know, when I started listening to a man on the radio who was telling people they could get out of debt by having a bake sale or garage sale. Problem with the garage sale was I sold everything I had to get to Nashville in the first place. And the problem with the bake sale was I didn't know how to bake, not even out of a box. But I had these 2 awesome daughters who were baking every day that I thought I could sell whatever they could make at night after school during the daytime. Problem with that is we didn't have electricity on a regular basis and running water coming out of the sink just because we willed it to. And a lot of times I would just be sitting in my house doing those, you know, day-to-day responsibilities as a stay-at-home mom, and then the lights would go out. It's like, dang, you know, we could never seem to get ahead. So this was a true, like, feeling choked out and feeling like you never could get it right and that you just weren't ever going to have the things that everybody else had. And I was just tired of trying to run after something and to always fall short and never have enough.
I think that's something that, I mean, first, thank you for your honesty. I think your story is something that a lot of people can relate to in varying degrees. You know, what would you want somebody who's listening right now, who's really in that place of pain, feeling like, you know, they just can't catch a break? What would you want them to know?
I want them to know that my story is not unique, that I'm not a unicorn, that there's nothing special about this story. The questions that you have to ask yourself need to change. They're not why me, it's what next and how. I want them to know that all you have is all you need to get you from where you are to where you want to be. I thought that I needed some big commercial kitchen, a commercial location. There are cottage laws in many states that will allow you to start these businesses right on the inside of your home. So the question becomes, what do you have in your house? Not necessarily your four walls, but what's in your wheelhouse? What is in your sphere of influence? What is in your capabilities that you can use, and activate right now without a lot of income to get you from where you are to where you want to be? For me, it was flour, butter, sugar, and eggs. For me, it was about getting the ingredients from the grocery store to put with the ingredients I may have already had to go and say, would you be willing to pay me for this service? Somebody has the ability to type. Somebody has the gift of words that they can use to help someone. My daughter-in-law used to make money in high school writing papers.
Yeah, right. So sometimes it's just, it's like the thing that you already love to do, or the thing that feels so natural to you. Like, why would somebody pay me to do this thing that, and I know specifically around like cooking and baking. I love to cook and I love to bake, and people always are complimenting me on meals and my own cupcakes. And I just always am thinking, sometimes the answer you're looking for is right there in front of you. You just have the courage to, you know, chase after it. And I think that's what's so interesting about your story too. You've shared this on many different podcast episodes, and on your TV interviews, but you had $5 left and a neighbor came over and asked you to make, you know, some astronomical 600 cupcakes. And, you know, that really was sort of the fuel behind you. But, you know, I think the crazy thing, I heard you talk about this on a podcast episode, it was that you didn't even know how to bake. How did you think, okay, I can do this. Like, I can make this 600 cupcakes and like, this might turn into something.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I was watching other people get onto that same radio show and scream, we're debt free. And I had listened to them do crazy amounts of money in months or in under a year or in under 5 years. And I thought, surely this can happen for me too. And so I think it's an indication of looking to your left and looking to your right and seeing other people do it. It's an indicator that you can have it too. If you see somebody else being it, doing it, having it, you can be it, do it, and have it too. There's nothing so unique about them, except they were willing to ask themselves the hard questions and then show up every day to it. Because I believe we're not afraid of failing. That's what we think it is. We think we're afraid to be failures. We're not afraid to fail. We're afraid to succeed. Because succeeding means I've got to show up when I don't feel like it. I've got to be ready when I don't feel like being ready. I have to do the thing when I don't feel like doing it, or when I don't feel like I'm good enough to do it. I have to be ready to do it. And I think the fear of success is what's driving more of us from not showing up to our own lives.
That really hits home for me. I know that there's so many things that I've start and stopped over my lifetime. When I was a very young girl, I was very gifted at swimming, and they were trying to, you know, groom me to basically go to the Olympics. And I was little. I'm talking, you know, 3, 4, 5. And I just remembered that feeling so overwhelming to me, that what if I couldn't be that good? And so I would end up quitting. I did the same thing. I was a gifted tennis player. I did the same thing where, you know, I walked away from that. But my realization in adulthood was that really my fear was the success. And, you know, would I be able to handle that? Would my family be able to handle that? And it's so interesting that we think it's fear, but it's really the success piece that we kind of get so hung up on. I'm also thinking too, how do you feel about the role of, you know, social media in the last, you know, 10 plus years, where we tend to only see the success story of someone? So we see them paying off the debt. We see them rocket launching their business. we see them buying the house and getting the car and all of those things that we long for, specifically around money and the goals that we have, but we don't see all of the steps in between. We don't see the struggle or the sacrifice or whatever it might be. And I think it's training us maybe to look at life through a lens that is not so healthy for us.
Yeah. And it's one of the things I have to, even as a person who has found success, I've got to monitor how I use social media because it sucks me in. Even though I might see my friends or people I know out there and I know their whole story, right? But I see their social media persona and I know that I personally have to remove myself or retreat from it in exchange for personal connection. And I remember being in college and they were telling us that a time was coming where people wouldn't walk up with their heads held high anymore. They'd have their heads down. And I was like, that's never going to happen. And I graduated from college in 1999. So we're talking about 1994, 1995, where they were saying that people always have their head down. And how are we walking around?
Exactly. With our heads down.
With our heads in phones, not even watching where we're going. Our heads are in phones because these are computers that we hold in our hands that have more of our attention than people do. And so I'm trying to be extremely mindful about that in my own life, about putting the phone down, putting the social media down, and just exchanging that for real human connection.
Yeah, it's so powerful. And you're right. We can get lost in it so easily. So, all right, let's go back to...
There's so much to learn from it. There's so much funny stuff there.
Right.
One of the things I did challenge myself to do was to not keep up with any of my friends on social media.
So,
if a friend calls me and says, hey, did you see my post? No, I didn't. I didn't. How are you doing? Did you see what I said about what happened to me? No, I didn't. I got to call you. So it makes me pick up the phone and call and hear the voices of my really close friends. I don't keep up with them at all on social media.
That's great advice. I love that. I love that because I often am like, oh man, if I could just chat with someone rather than picking up the phone and calling. And I'm like, oh no, that's not the good way to do this because, you know, we need that human connection. And, you know, I named the show Everyone's Talking Money because I really wanted to create a space where people felt like they could talk about tough subjects and where they could hear other people talk about tough subjects. And money is certainly one of those things. So when you're starting your business and you're in this debt, you know, what are some of the tricks you used? Maybe not even tricks, just what are some of the things that you did to get rid of that debt? And how did it feel on the other side?
Yeah. So I surrounded myself with people who were smarter than me. That is the way I moved the needle in my whole life, was to surround myself with people who had been through what I was trying to accomplish, people who had done what I was trying to do. And I started asking questions and enlisting help. I did a lot of writing letters to credit bureaus and into credit providers to talk about what I actually owed and what those balances were, to try to make deals for things, and a lot of erroneous things being removed from my credit, but also cash stuffing. So cash stuffing in envelopes was my first real obstacle that I had to get over. Because when I was in a situation like I was in to the beginning, you couldn't even have money in a bank account for fear of having an overdraft fee. And one overdraft fee could have thrown me into a tailspin, which it did in many occasions, where if you are one penny off, it garners you a $35 overdraft fee that you needed. You needed all $34.99 that you could have simply just changed the way you paid the debt and offered me an opportunity to keep my dignity intact. So I learned to keep my money out of the bank when I was in real dire situations and start envelope stuffing. so that I could put money in places and tell it where I needed it to go. And then being very strategic about telling my money what I wanted my money to do. And that being allotting it or earmarking it for different things and hiding it around the house so that nobody else knew that I had it and couldn't take it from me. Because that was one of the challenges that I had in the beginning. I remember the day that I paid off my student loans. I remember the day I got the letter from Sallie Mae saying that I didn't have, that was the final debt that I had to pay. I remember it feeling like, wow, I actually did it. I remember feeling like crying and screaming and laughing, something I'm known to do all at the same time. And I remember it feeling like a new day, a new opportunity for me and my children for what we were going to be able to do now. I remember when I moved them into a townhouse that was brand new, that no one else had lived in before. And I remember feeling confident that I was going to get approved for it because I could afford to have it. I remember being able to do things like buy my dream car. I've been dreaming about this car for 10 or 15 years before I finally got it. But I got it when I could afford to keep it, care for it, put insurance on it, you know, do the repairs on it. All of those things made me feel like finally I was an example that my children could be proud of and someone that I could lead them into what the next leg of our legacy.
Life does not happen biweekly, so why should your payday? The money you earn can be in your hands today with Earnin. Earnin, it's an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. You just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then you can access up to $100 a day as you work and leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. Listen, the money you get from Earnin, it could do a lot of things. Maybe you spend it on a gift for someone special in your life, or in my case, an unexpected and very expensive trip to the vet for my pup Winnie, or maybe you use the money towards your upcoming rent payment. There are lots of ways the Earnin money could go to use. Make Earnin a part of your financial routine and join Earnin's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, when I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability, security. It gives me a lot of peace of mind. Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in Talkin, T-A-L-K-I-N, money, under podcast when you sign up. It will really help the show. Talkin, money, under podcast. Subject to your available earnings, location, daily max, and pay period max. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, Mignon, we're ready to play Your Relationship with Money is Game. So first question, if you were to describe your relationship with money as a cartoon character, who would it be?
That's easy. It would be Miss Piggy. First of all, Miss Piggy is very fabulous, and I don't feel like of all the things, she was always greedy for more. So my relationship with money is that there was never enough, but that didn't stop me from wanting to be me in all of my grandeur. And, you know, she's like, for moi? You know, I've always been a fan of Miss Piggy. And so I would say that she was always using more than she had available to her as well. And so I think my relationship with money might look a lot like Miss Piggy.
That's great. I love it. All right. Question number two. How many times a day would you say you think about money?
Ooh. So they say that we have like 30 or 40,000 thoughts a day, and we just don't realize it. So I would imagine that my thoughts about money are somewhere up there around 20,000. Because not only am I concerned about my money, I'm concerned about my children's money. I'm concerned about the money of the team that's working with me and what they're doing with their money and how they can utilize their money better. And how can I invest my money into the next thing that I want to be a part of?
All right. So question number three, if you had unlimited funds, where would be the first place you'd spend your money? And it could be anything.
There's a little school up in North Nashville called F.H. Jenkins. It's been around for like 125, 130 years. It's the only African-American private school in Middle Tennessee. I would buy them a new school building. They're always full to capacity, which is a small number, like 60 students they can have at a time. And I would want the city of Nashville to know about how many political figures have come out of this school, how much this little tiny school has to offer. And it's the place where my little grandchildren have all started their matriculation into education. And so I would have them a new school by the time my next one goes into kindergarten.
All right, last question. Tell me a money mistake you've made that you wish you could get a do-over for.
Ooh, a money mistake that I've made that I wish I could get a do-over for was getting into debt. And, you know, living above my means. I've learned to live within my means because living below my means allows me to give. I just love being able to be generous. And it's allowed me to be generous, not only to my children, but to the people who work on my team, to people who I don't even know. I get to have a scholarship in my name at the university that's up the road from me. And I just want to be able to do more than that. So I think a money mistake I made that I wish I had known better was living above my means and getting into debt to keep stuff. People matter more than things.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of The Daily Book Club, a daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to The Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into The Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to The Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in The Daily Book Club.
Hi, I'm Karina Bemisterfer, host of Morning Cup of Murder, your daily true crime podcast. Yes, you heard me right, daily true crime. Every day, Morning Cup of Murder tells you a straightforward, short-form story about murder, true crime, cold cases, disappearances, serial killers, cults, and more. And I do that all in under 15 minutes. With over 3 years of stories and over 20 million downloads, the Morning Cup of Murder podcast has become a staple of so many people's daily routines. So why not add it to yours? Stream Morning Cup of Murder everywhere you listen to podcasts. And remember, stay safe.
So where was the tipping point? Like, where was the point when you were making cupcakes, you were selling cupcakes? Like, when did you think, okay, like, I have something here. This could be the path to financial freedom.
The very first large order that I got was my neighbor knocking on the door. I was sitting in the house with no electricity, and I realized I only had $5 left to my name, and I hadn't allotted any money for food for our family to eat for the week. When she knocked on the door and asked me, could she buy cupcakes? And she saw the perplexity in my face and says, listen, when you make some, I'll pay you some. And so I was running my house on a generator at the time. And so I would sit in the dark in the daytime so that I could save up the gas in the generator so my children could have normalcy when they came home from school. And I took her up on this offer knowing that I only had $5. So if she didn't pay me like she says she was, we weren't going to eat. And so I accepted her order. This was going to be for 600 cupcakes. And since I didn't have to give them all to her at one time, I didn't have to have all the money for all the ingredients either. So I took the $5 that I had. I walked to the grocery store up the block from me, and I bought everything I could buy with that $5, and I turned it into 60 that day. And I turned that 60 into 600 by the end of the week. And it's been that same money that I've been flipping for the last 17 years. Because my store's been open for 15, but it took me 2 years working every day like it was a business before my store ever even opened. And so that's when I knew that I had something, when I turned my situation around within a matter of days. It all of a sudden went from not being able to have electricity and lights to paying for the electricity. It went from losing that's that powerful house where the cupcake collection exists today. On the day that I opened that store, November the 9th, 2008, my home was up for foreclosure sale. And I knew that I was going to lose it in December. But I believed that if God was who he says he is, he could do what he says he can do. So I opened the store, even though I knew I wasn't going to have a home in less than 30 days. And I still have that house today. And I've been able to set up a will, write a trust for my grandchildren to own that house.
Yeah. So you've been able to like create generational wealth all from that $5. I think that's so impactful because we can a lot of times think that it's going to take a lot of money for us to create a lot more money. And it can start from something very, very small and just expand out. And I think it's so important to think about that often because we're so limiting in our thoughts around money. We are our worst enemies, and it's so easy to tell ourselves that it's not possible. And I think society and media and everything we watch wants us to believe that everything is very scarce, that we will never have enough. There will never be enough. We're not enough, all of those messages around money. And so it's very easy to just, you know, want to turn into a hermit crab and kind of hide from everything and not take those risks and have the courage to step out and say, well, let me try something. You know, it could work, it could not work. So tell me about your cupcakes specifically, because I love cupcakes. And I would imagine that these have to be some like pretty amazing cupcakes. So like, do you have a specialty? Like how did you, are you known for a certain thing? Are you the icing queen or the cake queen or?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we are known to be the home of the sweet potato cupcake. So if you ever meet another sweet potato cupcake, it wants to be this one. So we have this thing that we do in our store. There are billboards around town that beckon people to come in and take the sweet potato challenge. Because usually when you hear cupcake, you don't think sweet potato. And so our flavors should speak to my New Orleans heritage. They should speak all the way back to where I'm from. And so we have people take the sweet potato challenge, and all we want to do is get their natural reaction on camera to tasting it. And we're hoping that their reaction will be that it's so yam good. And so that's what we're known for. We're known for these really rich flavors, everything made from scratch. Hence why I named my new book Made from Scratch, Finding Success Without a Recipe, because all of the things that we use are very simple ingredients, things that you have readily occurring in your house, like flour, butter, sugar, and eggs.
I love that. The yam challenge. I actually have never tasted a sweet potato cupcake before in my life, but I love sweet potatoes. So I'm imagining the combination. Does it have like cream cheese frosting? Is that the... Oh, okay. Yes. Okay, uh-huh. I'm sold.
Yeah, it should put you in the mind of a carrot cake or a spice cake, but it's not either one. So it's someplace in between. But I grew up as a child who loved spice cake. I grew up as a child who loved carrot cake. And so for people who don't like the texture of those kinds of things, having vegetables or fruits, the great thing about sweet potato is it's that spice without the texture that some people don't like to experience when they're eating cake.
So you started with these flavors, and how have you... I guess the question really is like, what is the next sort of direction for your business? Like, where do you go from this point? Because you've created like such a successful business and really just like turned everything around financially for your family. Where do you go from here?
So we're wanting to show other people what they can do if only they believe. We want to be a lighthouse in the communities where we exist to show them what could happen if only you believe. And so we're moving the cupcake collection across the country, especially in areas where we have been historically enslaved. So my father was born on a sugarcane plantation. And our understanding of enslavement of our people was that ended in the mid-1800s. My parents weren't born to the mid-1900s. And so my father was born on a sugarcane plantation. And to know now that we are leaving a legacy and building a business in the very industry that my grandparents weren't allowed to have free enterprise is not lost on me. And so I want to be able to have other locations in places where we've been historically enslaved so that we have an opportunity to redeem the time. And so one of my first locations that we created was in New Orleans, which was where the hub for the enslavement of my people exists. The largest hub for it in the world is right in the city where I'm from. And so having this business be successful in this industry means everything not only to me, but to my past and also to my future.
I think that's so amazing that you're able to use your business to, you know, have these locations and to really serve your community in the way that you have. And I think it's really easy for a lot of times when we're talking about money to kind of glaze over the history of what's happened here in this country and to say, well, you know, all you need to do is X, Y, and Z and you can better your money situation. But there's a lot of generational money trauma. There's a lot of wounds that have existed in this country that it would be very unfair to just kind of gloss over and say that getting ahead, that creating generational wealth, you know, all of these things that it's just so easy and accessible to everyone. I think it's important to talk about what has happened in our history.
Right. We feel so uncomfortable with doing that. And the difference for me is that this is not only my family history, this is also my cultural history. And I just have this wonderful opportunity to be able to go back and say, I had something in my house that I could use. And it's not lost on me that it's not easy for everybody to bootstrap what they have. But what I am saying is that everybody does have something they can use.
So tell me a little bit about your book. I know you chronicle a lot of your story in your book. But what do you really want somebody who picks up a copy of this book, what do you want them to walk away, you know, knowing or feeling? Or is there a chapter in the book that just like really like, this is my favorite chapter. Like if you don't read anything else in the book, you've got to read this.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. There's so many places. If you don't read anything else, maybe you just got to at least read the first and the last chapter. So that you can know where I started and where we ended up. But this is not the end because we're only continuing to grow. I would say oh my gosh, that's such a hard question for me to answer. What I do want people to take away from it though is that there are no mistakes. Every stupid thing I ever had to do was taking me from where I was to where I wanted to be. That the things that happened in my life didn't happen to me, they were for me. So if you do pick up the book and read it, I want you to know, don't look at me as a victim. I'm a victor. I don't take the situations in my life and cry out and need someone to cry out for me. I am a victor in the situation, even though looking at the story, you will find very heavy pieces of my story that I never told before I wrote this book. And there are a lot of things that I left on the cutting floor as well, because it was just like, how is this going to benefit anybody? What is the profit of this to know this part of my story? So there's a lot of stuff that never even made it into the book. But I was very strategic about what parts of my story I was willing to share. And some things I even went to my children to get their permission to find out if they were okay with me sharing parts of the story, because it's not just my story. It's their story too. It's our story. I just happened to be the one that was writing it from my point of view. So that's what I want people to know. There are no mistakes. Everything was necessary. And without the things that happened, I wouldn't be right here today where I am right now.
I'm wondering too, if there were any sort of surprising money lessons that maybe you weren't prepared for along the way when you were building your business. So you overcame the debt that you were in and, really changed the situation. But when you were particularly in there, just operating your business, were there any like ahas about money where you thought, oh my gosh, like I wish I would have known this ahead of time?
Yeah. I wished I would have known that the more money you make, the more you spend. I wish I would have known what having a business of this magnitude really required financially, because the tax debt that's connected to it, and those kinds of things, I wasn't ready to see the kind of requirements that would be placed on me once I got to this level. But more than anything, I wouldn't change it for the world. I wouldn't give it back. I'd rather do that. But I think once you find success, the biggest thing for me was looking back and seeing how easy it actually was. Like, no matter what I had to do to get to where I am, whatever that was, it was worth it. Whatever I had to put aside, whatever had to wait, whatever it took for me to get from where I was to where I wanted to be, it was worth it. And when I look back on my life and see now what I'm able to do, once you break that glass ceiling, it's easy to keep on soaring. It's easy to look back and say, hey, come with me. Come alongside of me and do this too. I'll hold your hand, but you can't take the scales or the blinders off for somebody who hasn't done it yet. They've got to see it for themselves in order to do it.
Wow. It just really warms my soul to hear you talk about your journey and talk about, what you want for everyone listening to really, I don't know, feel from this conversation. We've talked about so many different things. You've inspired us along the way. If we're listening and, we're feeling like that fire burning inside of us, like, okay, all right, I can do this. Like I can do this. What do you want us to leave us with? Like, what message do you want us to remember from this conversation?
I want them to remember that the voice on the inside of their head that's telling them they can't is the one that's lying to them. I want them to know that just because you see somebody else having or doing the thing you want to have or do is the indication that you can too. that there's room for cupcakes. There's a chapter in my story called There's Room for Cupcakes. And my five-year-old encouraged me. I remember working really hard to get my store open. It almost been 2 years I've been working at it. And another cupcake shop just popped up out of the blue. And it was just like, wait a minute, there were no cupcake places in Nashville. God, why is this happening? And my five-year-old, who just left out this morning to go to drill, he's in the Army Reserve. You know, he's a sergeant in the Army Reserve now. And he said, Mommy, there's room for cupcakes. And essentially what he was saying to me in his five-year-old way was, if you were the only cupcake store in the city, Mom, you wouldn't be able to serve everybody. So there's room for somebody to be doing exactly what you're doing. They're not going to do it the same way that you're doing it. And just because they were first at doing it doesn't mean that they'll be the best at doing it. And here we are now, 17 years later after that time, and I'm the last cupcake standing. While all those other cupcake places have gone on, I'm still here. And so it just goes to show that just because you see somebody else doing it doesn't mean it's your indication that you should stop or not continue to try to make it to that thing that you've already been told that you should be doing.
Wow. I hope that you really enjoyed this conversation as much as I did. I think the biggest money lesson that I take away from Yon is you have the power to change your money situation right now. And there's three things that I think really embody Mignon's story. One is you decide to think something different about your money situation. Number two, you look at what you have right now and what can you do with what you have. And number three, most importantly, you take a step forward, even if you're scared, even if you're shaking and you're wobbling and you're full of doubt, just like Mignon, right? She took that last $5, I can't even imagine the decision process behind that, and made cupcakes with it. And I guess you could say the rest is history. But her story, I believe it can be all of our stories. If you want to learn more from Mignon, you could pick up her book, Made from Scratch, Finding Success Without a Recipe. Everywhere books are sold, I will link it in the show notes as well. You can also head to the show notes for everything that I mentioned in this episode, as well as our sponsors who make the show possible. Thank you for heading over there and giving them love. They are what keeps the lights on, my friend, and keeps me coming back. I will see you back here in a few days for a brand new episode.